freaking auto!
This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about just
Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
You were not exactly Joe Cap there in the pocket.
Presented by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
All right, 2 days to the draft. We've got another draft profile. Apparently, Brock has called an audible, which is sort of exciting. We'll see where this goes here in just a moment. And let's see. Mariners will get back to it tonight. And if you have a few minutes this morning, once you get to work, if you're looking to kill a little time, I hope you'll read my column on Richard Sherman and his thoughts on the Seahawks doing what they did over at the facility and moving around some of the pictures. For me, this one's pretty simple. Sherm doesn't care about the Seahawks, doesn't care about you, doesn't care about the fans, doesn't care about the franchise. He cares about Richard Sherman. And this is yet another example of it. And you can go read how and why at SeattleSports.com. Brock, who you got for us today?
The Seattle Seahawks select.
This is Brock Heward's draft profile.
You want traits? Check. You want a vocal leader? Check.
At the end of the day, you have to say, okay, what's best for the organization?
Can you make people around you better? And can you bring people together?
Every day at 9 a.m. leading up to the draft.
Okay, I'm making an audible.
Oh, good.
I'm not going to draft Fautanu in the third round. He's still going to be my final tomorrow. And Dominic just texted me and said, I'm sorry. Sorry about that brain fart. We all looked at each other like, I don't know about that. I'm making an audible listening to him. I'm making an audible listening to Booger McFarland. I'm making an audible reading the room a little bit in my gut that the Seahawks are going to trade down. And this guy was in for a 30 visit. And he's another freak show on the end, man. Booger McFarland said Chop Robinson is a Baltimore Raven. If Chop Robinson's a Baltimore Raven, you know what else Chop Robinson is? A Seattle Seahawk. So I did not see Chop in person this year with Penn State. He got beat up at the end of the year, had a foot injury, tried to play through it, and ultimately had to shut it down. But man, did his coaches love him. Man, did his former coach. See, usually, Salk, when somebody transfers and leaves, you can kind of read the tea leaves a little bit. And if the dude was kind of a turd that needed to be flushed, they're happy about flushing that out. That was not the case. Mike Locksley at Maryland was like, man, Chop's in stud. Absolute local guy there in Maryland, chose Maryland. And then ultimately he's like, no, I got a chance to do this at a higher level, probably make a little more NIL money, and transfers to Penn State where he becomes an all-conference player. 6'3", 254, 445. That's what gets me. And his tape, unlike, you know, when you heard Dominic talking about Jared Verse, where you had to go back and like, oh, he tested better than his tape. No, you put on Chop Robinson's tape, and when that dude is right, you feel 4-4 off the edge. That's just different. I mean, that stuff is just different. So this isn't number 16. This is, and why I'm audibling and making this move is, if you trade down and you're sitting there in the 20s, I think there's a reason Chop Robinson was out. A, they needed to see him in person. B, they needed to do even more medical on him. And C, because he's one of these guys that's in the 20s that could be a tremendous value, a tremendous football player. 6'3", 254, 448. And what jumps off the page, Salk, his first 10, 154. That is flying. That's faster than Verse. That's faster than Latu. That's faster than anybody else.
Isn't that about the same that I did in the little video I showed you guys the other day?
154.
Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't I go about 10 yards and I'm second and
no,
a half?
No, that was for the first 3 yards.
Oh.
Yes.
Right, got
your
it.
First 10 was over three and a half seconds.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
He jumped 35. He broad jumped 10.8. His short shuttle, again, the fastest of that group, 4.2. I mean, he is a dynamic, lightning quick, violent, physical dude. And as Dominic was saying there, Mafe, Taylor, and I know you took Hall early in the second round last year, but this guy's just got a different gear. And when Booger McFarland calls him a Raven, Dominic talks about that defense and adding to that defense and making sure those edges are secure. If Jared Verse goes, you know, 8, 10, 12, 13, he's not there for you at 16, Saul. Can you trade down? Chop Robinson's a guy that's going to be there in the 20s for you, and it's just a name. And by the way, I love the name. I love Chop.
Yeah.
I just kind of get a, yep. I just, this is a traits one. This is just a, boy, there's a reason he visited. And if he's there in the late 20s, there is one dynamic athlete coming to Seattle.
Okay, well, that is today's second to last, Brock, the penultimate draft profile of Chop Robinson. So I think I know who tomorrow is going to be. He's been your favorite pretty much right from the beginning. Who are you planning to do today?
I had about three different guys over the course of the day that I'm sitting here looking at. A Newton out of Illinois. Again, this is just kind of coming back to all these things we hear. When I hear that wall, when I hear defensive tackle, when I hear Dominic say Byron Murphy's the best D tackle in this draft, guess what? He's going top 10. He's not going to be there at 16. So then you kind of look at that next step down, you know, and I loved what Dominic said. You did too. One of John Schneider's great traits. And maybe why Salk, you know, when Jody Allen and the season ended, and she knew that change had to be made, why she leaned into John that much more is he is an amazing listener to both her and what ownership wants, and then B, through the entire exhausting, long interview process where they turned over every stone and listened to every possible candidate and ultimately settled on Mike McDonald. And I love the way that Dominic laid it out. Okay, Mike, give me what you want. I'm going to really listen. Here's the 12. I love that. Here's the 12 positions on defense. Go ahead and kind of evaluate them. What is priority for you? Is you build your football team and you build your defense. And as you do that, Salk, and I look at his defenses in Baltimore, I look at his defense in Michigan, I look at the Harbaugh way, it is going to be up front. It's going to be big people that can do what he said at the coach's clinic, knock others off the ball.
So you thought about Jerzon Newton.
Yep.
You ended up with Chop Robinson.
Yep.
Who else did you think about today?
Oh, let's see. Unfortunately, I don't know the big kid, Graham Barton. That's another name that you hear. He's a Duke tackle. He's kind of Troy Fautanu light, but he is strong and was a great tackle. And they slid him into, or he's certainly going to project because he's got much shorter arms, absolutely is going to project to be a guard. But you got a guy there that can block like a tackle, but dynamic and powerful and strong. I was just looking at PFF's mock, by the way. Dallas Turner fell to 16 to the Seattle Seahawks. Another just edgy, unbelievably fast. You know, Will Anderson light, you know, just because the frame isn't as thick as Will. But, man, is he twitchy. So, yeah, I just kind of keep coming back to that line of scrimmage, and that line of scrimmage got to be a focal point.
Well, I certainly like to hear that because there's a lot of importance there. So this is gonna be fun. I love when you start kind of looking, you know, at this time, and now you're starting to really narrow it down. 858 says Chop, Hall, and Mafe. Aren't they basically all the same player?
No, none of Hall and Mafe didn't run quite like that. They were close. Mafe was skill set, but he also was really raw. Mafe was really instinctively raw. And I think the more we learned about Derek Hall, same thing. Chop is not as raw. There's going to be a lot more refined skills that he's going to bring to the mix. Not a tool bucket like Latu and not a productive level like Verse. So those would probably be a priority. But again, you trade down. Chop's a unique athlete.
I don't appreciate this from Harrison Spokane. By my calculations off of Brock's numbers, Salk runs a 14.6 second 40. So look out, Mora. He also sent a picture yesterday of a big fat basset hound running with its ears dangling all over the place. And that doesn't sound very nice. Yeah. That's wrong. That's just not very nice.
No, you're right, dude. I totally own this. My middle child instigating ways.
Yeah, always.
Sometimes sets you up poorly.
I know.
But I'm rooting for you.
I appreciate that you're
part of the reason I do that is I put that chip on your shoulder.
Well, it's there, believe me. Speaking of chips on the shoulder,
what about me?
Not rooting for you. You were mean to him last week. You yelled at him about the.
You called me a bad word, Maura. Yeah. You called me a bad
seriously.
Word.
You can't do that and expect to get away from it.
Sure.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work. Speaking of chips on the shoulder, 253. When they let Sherman go, he ran straight to a division rival. Did he even try or interview with any other teams? That should tell you something about his loyalties. If you go and read my column, you will notice that I did not mention that. That doesn't mean anything to me.
That was the market.
That is the market. That is him going. I did not have a problem with him going to San Francisco. Maybe he did it on purpose, but that doesn't bother me at all. That's not what it's about for me. You got to go read it, but that's not what it's about for me. And then I do like this one. Richard Sherman is the guy your sister married and brought into the family, and he was cool for like two get-togethers. Then you got to know him more and realize all he likes to do is tell you where you're wrong, and here's how to do anything in life right. Your sister needs to check her husband's qualifications and do better next time. Yep, that sounds about right to me. We'll come right back.
Very specific.
With everything you need to know. And 425,
okay?
We can help you with your brother-in-law problem. It's next on Brock and Salk.
need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, we will finally be done with all the rumors, all the mock drafts, Brock, and eventually we'll get to see what direction this Seahawks team is going to be turning into the future. Will they go with a quarterback? Well, you just heard Mark Domenech say pretty much the same thing Joel Klatt did yesterday. If Michael Penix falls to them at number 16, you got to take him. He is a potential franchise changer. Joel Klatt thinks that he could be a guy we're looking at as a Super Bowl winner.
And this dude is asked to sit there and sling it, man. And he did it as well as anybody. He passes the football, not throws. He passes the football down the field as well as anybody. If he goes to the right spot, I do believe Michael Penix can be a quarterback that leads a franchise to a potential Super Bowl.
And then he went on to say that, yeah, at 16, you take him if he's there. He just doesn't think he's going to be there. So you could go quarterback. You could go on the defensive end, and you could get a Jared Verse and have him completely set an edge. You could go with Latu and have a tremendous pass rusher if he's available. You could go with Byron Murphy up front and try to make the interior of your defense even more stout. You could wait and trade down and go with a Chop Robinson. You could stay with a Troy Fautano. Brock, the options are actually all pretty good for the Seahawks.
Yeah, that Green Bay Packers winning this time around, I think, helped a little bit. The difference between sitting there at 16 versus in the 20s is there's A, more that's going to fall to you, and B, as I have said for, and I'll continue to kind of stand on this, because I believe this is the way it's going to play out, there'll be a lot of teams that are going to need and want somebody that will be there at 16, that they've got prioritized on their board as they sit in the 20s and say, got to have it. And that could create some tremendous market leverage where maybe you get even more than any trade point boards, you know, tells you as you spit it out and look at past trades and say, no. That's the past. That's what the market was in the past. Mm-hmm. Not today. Not when I got four teams that want this pick. If you really want it, I'm going to need this second. I'm going to need this third. And hopefully John can create that kind of leverage in the market.
A lot of good options ahead of the Seahawks. We'll start to find out on Thursday.
Here's the second thing you need
to know. We're going to find out a little bit about the Mariners this week as they go to Texas to take on the Rangers. It's not going to be a be-all, end-all series, but it is a first look at how they match up and stack up against the defending champs, who have had some issues pitching, but certainly can hit the ball and hit it out of the ballpark. This is an opportunity. They're not yet fully healthy. They're dealing with issues, third base, starting pitching, etc. And as John Morosi told Wyman and Bob yesterday, yeah, it's an opportunity to put a little distance between you and them.
The Mariners need to bank their wins early in the year because Texas will get Scherzer back next month, and then DeGrom, and then Malley. They're going to get better and better. And so as long as Seattle has a pretty healthy rotation, and they do, obviously, even without Wu, this is their window to really, I think, get some distance in comparison to the rest of the teams in the division, because the Astros' concerns have been prolonged, and they're still there. So big picture right now, I felt at the beginning of the year that this was a playoff team, and honestly, I feel even a little bit better now, looking at the way they've played the last couple weeks.
You know who I got my eye on this series?
Who you got?
Cal. The big dumper went up to Toronto, hit bombs. He went to Colorado, hit bombs. Leads his team in home runs. Actually, somebody put on Twitter comparison between him and Adley Rutschman right now and said we need to have a conversation. Because what Cal is doing offensively and OPA, all that stuff is far superior to what their catcher's doing out there in Baltimore, who everybody has heralded as the greatest. I think I got my eye on Cal. It was after that Texas series last year that he vented a little bit at the end of the season. And he's going to have to be really good. He's going to have to read the swings of Seager and Semien in a lineup that is tremendous, that makes adjustments, that has battered and bashed the ball here in the first month of the season. I'm excited to see what Cal is going to do over these next 3 days.
Yeah, Logan Gilbert gets the ball tonight. Then we'll go Bryce Miller, Luis Castillo in the next two. Dane Dunning for the Rangers, followed by John Gray and Andrew Haney.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Postmortem for the Kraken. Ron Francis, meeting with the media yesterday, said that they've not yet decided about the future of the coaching staff. They're going through their review process. When asked about that, he said, well, you're going to read into it one way or another, but this is the process we do every year, and that's where we're at right now. What did they do this year? They disappointed. And
they just couldn't score, man.
It was more than that. They were disappointing as a team. They were not what they were supposed to be this year coming off of the season earlier. And, you know, what happened with the young guys? Did Cartier do what you were hoping he would do? Did Beniers develop the way he was supposed to? When you did get a look at some of the guys that came up short of Shane Wright in the last couple of games, did you like what you saw? Ron Francis says the youth is actually pretty good.
Yeah, no, listen, if you look at our pipeline, it's very bright, but there's a process to that, right? It's Matty, I'm sure, will tell you his season didn't go as great as he'd hoped. And we still forget he's a young kid in the league, you know, 2020 and 2021. The guys we called up at the end in Winterton, you know, started in the AHL this year at 20, turned 21. And Shane started at 19. He should be playing junior, and he's playing in the American League. So there's a lot of good pieces in the pipeline. The challenge is bringing them in, you know, sort of intertwining them with what we have in our lineup and helping them have success.
And the challenge in this market is relevancy.
Yeah. Also, I mean, sorry, man, age 21 in the NHL, the best guys, if they've been up for a season or two, they're already kind of doing what they're doing.
Yep. And you're fighting for relevancy, man. Husky football is a real thing. They put themselves on the map. They will continue to do so. Jed Fish doing a great job recruiting. Saw a couple more portal kids yesterday. And Belichick and Carroll and those guys are all hanging around, and they're not going to play second fiddle. The Mariners are not going to play second fiddle. They got great stars. This is a playoff contending team. Fangraphs actually puts them now as the leader in the clubhouse to win the division this season. And the Seahawks, we know the footprint that they have. So Kraken can't afford to have middling seasons like they did this year. They just cannot for relevancy purposes.
All right, that's everything you need to know 7:45 here on the Brock and Salk show. We've got kind of a different style ranked coming up here in 20 minutes, so you can look forward to that. Just a couple days to go before the draft.
This isn't mine today.
You're not responsible today. Don't worry about it. No, we got you covered. You covered today. It's a look back at a day in history that is very important to certain people, so we'll dig into that here in about 20 minutes. I mentioned the mock season being over, but also mentioned that there's still some mocking left to be done, and I might try some next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Yeah, Thursday is obviously draft day, but it's also race day, Brock. And Moore and I have been getting ourselves ready for the big race. We're running a 200-meter sprint to see who's faster. Mm-hmm. 200 meters. This came up a couple of weeks ago when we started talking trash to each other. And the next thing you know, it's turned into a whole thing. So we are going to be at the University of Washington track tomorrow after the show. And all four of us are going to be there. I think there's a film crew.
Did we get the drone approved via FAA?
Well, there may be some drone footage. We'll see. We're working on back channels.
I thought I was just going to have you standing on a ladder.
Mm. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Kind of shuffling along the way to see if we can give it some movement. Right. It looks like a drone shot. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Or if we have stilts maybe we could borrow from somebody.
How about the camera they use in the Olympics where they got going right down the track?
That's what my dad wanted. He asked me whether we were going to have one of those. I said, no, we're not.
We got Kyle Brown going around on a skateboard.
They probably can't set that camera to a slow enough setting for our race.
The camera keeps getting farther and farther away.
Now, one question I do have about the race is, will, like, when you go to the Greyhound track and they have the rabbit thing that runs in front, will there be something as, like, a little pace, like a slice of cheese or something that Moore and I...
Up that's like a hat?
That would be great. Something that we're chasing.
Pop-Tart.
Yeah, Pop-Tart or something like that. So we're chasing after it, and the first person to reach it, you can just run a little bit faster. That's a question.
Is this you paying off your mocking tees?
I'd be mocking a little bit before the race. So we are, in more seriousness, we are choosing some charities to be the beneficiary. So as I said, the amount is undetermined. And Brock, I think you said you wanted to donate to the winner's charity as well.
Oh, I will.
Everyone else will be free to as well. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about it. Whoever wins will be crowing on Friday. I have officially chosen my charity for this event is Baseball Beyond Borders. And I just really got to know what they are recently. I was over at the ballpark just last week and started talking to some of the folks over from Baseball Beyond Borders. And just really, then I went and looked them up and was reading about it. I was just really impressed with what they do and, you know, their goal of A, helping baseball, you know, continue in communities where it has struggled here over the course of the last 20, 30 years. But then more than that, really helping kids in that community understand what it takes to be good at things, not just baseball. So I was really impressed with how they operate and what they're doing. And so Baseball Beyond Borders is the charity.
The last time you brought it up, I was like, yeah, that's a cause. I donated the minute you were talking about
it. So you essentially predicted my win.
Wow.
Did I?
Well, you donated to the charity I'm asking people to donate to if and when I win. So it seems like you were already sort of assuming that the win would take place, which I don't blame you for.
Maura, I did not do that.
Smart money.
Maura and I have kind of talked offline. I like her idea, which is she's going to make you pay to the Motley Collective. If she wins.
Yes.
So,
well, that is a deserving cause.
Yeah.
So if Maura wins, I have to donate money to help bring NIL kids to
Washington. Yeah. Some NIL money
to
bow down.
Your heart.
Well, that is quite the charity.
That would be funny to make you do, but I want the money to go somewhere that needs a little more.
So also on the line is so there's a ranking element to this race as well, right?
Oh.
So Maura, you said that if you win,
you don't get to do any honorable mentions for a week.
Okay, next week.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, no, not next week, because I'm out of town.
I think you said next week. I want to hold you to what
I
you
just said.
I
just said for a week.
No, you said next week.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
Don't you think it would be the following week?
Because Maura's heading back to Iowa. She's in Iowa
Yeah,
again?
Another Iowa vacation.
The Bahamas.
For Maura. Oh, the Bahamas. Oh. All right. No, you can choose a week. You can choose a week. Aww. It can't be next week when you're out. It could be the following week when I'm out for some
you
of the week.
I thought you guys said you wanted me to sing, and then yesterday you said you didn't come up with anything.
I told you, you have to be supportive during the
coaching,
ranking
right.
process yeah. off the air.
Yeah.
Not on the air. I don't care what you do on the air. The
for
off
how
air.
How long?
A month.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I was
forever.
Like, I'm not doing it indefinitely.
Forever. How's forever?
No.
Nah, I'll say a month. I'll take a month. How's that?
How, 1 week versus 1 month more?
Hey,
more
should have asked for
terms?
More. That's not my fault. She should have asked for more. That's that's her fault. She aimed low.
I don't think
low.
You guys are going to like it. I think you're fueled by my hatred.
No, I want your hatred on the air. I just don't want your hatred off the air. That's the difference. So so that's what's at stake. And, Brock, a lot of people seem to think that Maura's got the advantage in this race.
It's interesting. I mean, she is very fit. You know, she is doing Silver Sneakers Plus. She's 20 minutes a day on that treadmill. She's jogging. She's running. She runs with her dog. Like, she's very, very active. Brock. Sulk, not so active.
Not recently, but
in your past, I've seen flashes of some explosiveness. I saw it when you ran a 40-yard dash at the Seahawks Combine where you finished, you know, in the top, I don't know, top five-ish. You know, I mean, we're not talking Bob Condotta here, folks. Okay, we're not talking about somebody that was an athlete back in the day.
Have you decided what you're going to wear yet?
No, and I've been really thinking hard about it. I mean, I know the sneakers I'm going to wear. I have some Brooks running shoes I'm going to wear. I think I just got to have a pair of Nike blue shorts that are good for running.
Spandex.
Obviously, there'll be some compression shorts underneath that. I mean, you want to make sure you're you want to look like that guy at the combine at the 40-yard dash a few years ago at the combine. He had all kinds of issues. Nobody needs that. The drone. We'll have to erase all the drone footage. Right.
Post anything.
Right. So I'm like from the waist down, I feel very comfortable with what I'm wearing. I don't know what to wear as a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Maybe I'll go shirtless.
You go sleeveless.
What do you mean, no?
Maximum airflow.
Well, I just want, I need the aerodynamics.
We're looking at 54 with an 80% chance of rain.
Yeah, there may be some rain,
I'm
which is not good.
I'm trying to figure out how we're starting, because Sulk was trying to do a hand on the ground start. I've just been starting upright, because I ran distance, so I never did that. And he said, what if they give us the blocks that day? I've never done a race off the blocks.
Yeah, no blocks.
Doing those for the first time would be.
I don't think we need a block. I never said anything about the blocks, I think whether you want to stand or crouch, I mean, all you have to do is be behind the line.
Yeah.
You can start backwards if you want. You just need to be behind the line.
Maura, based on that video he sent of his start, you shouldn't be worried.
he kind of tripped.
Yes.
Well, the start's not necessarily where I make my bread and butter.
We texted it to Passan.
I mean, in this short of a race, you kind of need a good start.
Passan gave me further breakdowns on that, by the way, if you want to know. He was pretty amazed when he looked at it in slow-mo. So, let's see here.
Because you're a dumpy little chump.
It's really not nice. That really not so nice of him to mean. Say. I really don't understand.
Yes. The best part by far is how his rear leg winds up literally on the starting line after his explosive move.
Was there a little slip?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But the rear leg started at the starting line. Like there wasn't a lot of.
Wasn't a lot of explosive push.
No, not a lot of explosive push.
Well, let's be fair.
Push.
At that point, I'd already run 3 200s and
that's
a 5K
true. And
that
a 5K.
Day.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, just at that point trying to show you and emulate what a start would look like. That wasn't necessarily my best start.
Mike, I will fill in the hole in your chin.
Plus, Maura should also be aware that, you know, that may have just been done to try to give her some false sense of confidence.
That's a good point.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So
seeds of doubt.
Right. So there's a lot of, you know, I know roughly what I can run a 200 in.
Uh-huh.
I've got a time kind of in my head of what
and
I need to
be. She's not giving us her time. She does not want that out there.
Well, I don't think either of us should. I mean, and then we would just, there would be no reason to really run the race.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, okay, well, you did it in this number of time. You did it in that. And so really, there'd be no reason to run this race.
One of us could be a gamer.
It's true.
Faster the day of.
Right. That's absolutely possible. Yeah, you get a little adrenaline rush. Sure. If that's the case, I worry for you because I definitely operate well on adrenaline.
I said that to Kevin Martinez. I said, I'm worried Salk's going to rage run and end up hurting himself.
Yeah. So as we said, so let's say the race is going to be run around 11 a.m., something like that. I would say I plan to get there by about 10:30 and spend 30 straight minutes stretching. I'm not going to do anything other than I need a full 30 minutes of stretching. And Brock, what I'm going to ask of you before the race is that you do for me what you asked Maura to do for you out at the golf course a couple weeks
ago.
I want you stretching my legs, pulling 100%. Them up over my head.
Yes.
I want the full, like, when you go to, if you ever get to a basketball game early and watch the, like, trainers out there working on the basketball players, that's what I'm looking for.
Do you remember the poor strength coach? He's still there. That had to stretch DJ Fluker before practice. Do you remember that man? He was drenched in a lather trying to stretch him. So I'll do whatever it takes. Mm. I will. I'll be a great teammate.
I'll do a normal amount of stretching and jog a couple laps.
Let's see. Would you like to hear some of the text messages? Are you taking bets as to at which point Mike suffers an injury?
What happens if 100 meters in you go around the turn and just
pull up?
And you just pop the hamstring, and it just pops.
Then Maura wins.
Will you hop along and at least finish?
Yeah,
you
depends
finish.
On how
I mean,
badly I'm hurt.
You're going to crawl. You're going to do whatever it takes.
I would say if I've popped a hamstring, I'm not going anywhere.
You are. You're going to hop and hop and hop and hop your way on the other leg.
My understanding of a legit hamstring tear is that you're not doing anything.
Brock,
you're going to lie
on
the ground.
What's going to happen is you are going to go out there and help him to the finish line.
That's
like
right.
A good teammate.
That's right. I expect you to carry me over the finish line, baby style.
That's fine.
Then we're going to have to find out who Salk is most mad at.
Right.
If that happens.
If that the weather.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm already a little iffy on us doing this in the rain. Is there an indoor opportunity for us to do this?
No,
there's nowhere we can do this inside. Why are we running in the rain?
We're doing it.
To be fair, they haven't told us what facility we're in yet. Maybe we are on the depths.
I feel like outdoors in the rain is kind of a dumb way. Do they even do that at the Olympics?
Wow.
I mean, I don't do well with the rain.
This is the Olympics now? That's the standard we're using?
This is just like the Olympics. I don't deal well with the inclement weather.
The actual race is going to be done in like 2 minutes. You'll be fine.
2 minutes?
Seems about right.
I feel like I'm going to be just fine if it's going to take you 2 minutes.
Shut up and everything.
2 minutes. Time Salk with an egg timer. That's not right. If Salk were to have a prayer for winning, he needs to wear the new U.S. track team leotard. I feel like that'd be hard to wear the first time. Like, to put a leotard on the first time to do the race, I'm sure that
you
there's
feel
like
this
itching.
Is your,
and,
Salk, how much do you feel like this is your opportunity not only to shut up Maura, right? As you're competing against her, but to really let the audience know, like, what you're made of.
Right. A little of everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sounds like Salk's already planning on getting hurt during the stretching so he won't have to race. No, I want to race. I'm excited. I'm very excited. It's been a long time since I've geared up for anything like this. So the competitive.
Any pre-workout drink? No. Any like C4 or any?
Oh.
No? Nothing?
Should I?
The night before, you should be hydrating.
I mean, I know there's a lot of hydrating, and I'll probably bring some Gatorade for the race. But like, is there anything else that needs to happen ahead of like 5 hour energy drink
Red Bull,
like that? Does that stuff help?
Probably eat some carbs.
Carbs?
I know you haven't been eating a lot of carbs.
Have not been. No, I've been pretty good about not eating the carbs.
Interesting.
So that's all right. Maybe all right. Well, I think we're getting ready.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Maura's going to choose her charity. Will you give us a name tomorrow of your charity?
Yes.
Okay. Tomorrow, Maura will give us her charity. Today, I have told you guys that Baseball Beyond Borders is what I would like you guys to donate to if and when I win this race.
Divish wants to know. Sorry.
What did Divish say? What did he? Oh, even if Salt goes shirtless, isn't he still wearing a sweater?
There's some drag.
Divish. I'll have you know that I trim that sucker, okay? So I look nice and aerodynamic when I take this shirt off.
Dress like the Flash.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to figure out a shirt. That's the last thing here. But it's got to be, you know, I don't want wind resistance. But also, if it's going to be raining, just like a straight-up cotton shirt, that's not going to work really well either. So a lot of thought. The one thing I can guarantee you I'm going to bring is hand warmers. There will be hand warmers right until the very last minute. I can promise you that. All right, we're going to do ranked here in a minute. The race will be on Thursday. I'm sure this will lead the show on Friday, regardless of what the Seahawks do in the draft. Right. And yeah, plus if you have a few minutes today, you can go read my column on Richard Sherman. Look, there's some, it's fascinating seeing the responses, Brock, which are probably about 70-30 who agree with my take on it and about 30% who think I'm just being personal and being an idiot. And that's fine. I would say that's not what's happening. Yes, there's a personal element to it, of course, but it's my read on the situation, man. My read on what I saw with Sherman, you can read it at clsports.com.
Yeah, I would have thought that'd have been the reaction. I would think about 3 out of 4 just kind of tired of the antics. Right, just kind
of
like,
him or of me?
probably a little more of him.
Got
like,
it.
Just kind of enough's enough, you know? Like, just you probably shouldn't be the one. Now, if Cam or Doug or one of those guys, you know, was a little more vocal about it.
Cam gets a little more grace. I mean, just sort of based on how the last decade has gone, Cam gets a little bit more grace. Doug even gets a little bit more grace. Like, it just, it's different. Unfortunately, this is like, you know, piece of evidence number 5 on Sherm as opposed to like, you know, one thing that you kind of overlook. So, yeah, go read it. It's up at seattlesports.com. And then a final text here says, based on Brock's description, you know, I can't even read that. Let's just go right into ranked. Let's just do that.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwanfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
Oh, man. That's a good question. Do you think that I need to wear like Rec Specs goggles to keep the rain out of my eyes as I'm running?
It looks sweet, so yeah. I think yes.
You should definitely do that.
Look good, play good.
I feel like Rec Specs would probably help.
Headbands.
Make sure, headband, wristbands, obviously, for wiping
sweat
away
in the rain.
Yeah. Justin, on this day, New Coke was created
New
or
Coke
released?
Was a released to the world, and it
disgusting.
Was not popular.
Nor should it have been. It tasted like Pepsi. It was not very good. The only thing good about New Coke was the Max Headroom commercials, and then when they finally brought back Coke and called it Coca-Cola Classic.
Max Headroom commercials.
Only good thing about New Coke. It was not good. It just wasn't good.
I don't even remember New Coke.
I missed the whole era. I missed it.
Terrible. Terrible.
Well, if it made it to Libby or Puyallup,
I don't know.
I thought we would rank sodas.
It wasn't a Keystone Light can. I don't know if it made it.
Keystone Light?
Yeah.
When you were like 9?
Yeah, I don't know if it made it to Montana if it wasn't in that can.
Sodas ranked. Yeah, sodas ranked.
Sodas.
Soda. Right. And this is straight up. Sodas ranked.
Straightforward, Maura?
Mostly straight.
Mostly straightforward.
You guys
mostly.
Told me, you have to be flexible with the rules, but you were absolutely not
right,
flexible with mountains
so
when Mount
give,
Rainier didn't make it.
Maura, enough. This is ranked. This is important. Don't worry about the rules.
Except for when we're ranking mountains.
Some honorable mentions include Dr. Pepper. And yeah, you can mention Mr. Pibb, but it's quite a few steps below Dr. Pepper. The original is the original.
Sure.
And if you ever have a chance to listen to the Paul Harvey rest of the story on the Dr. Pepper story, it's great. Paul Harvey's awesome. A&W root beer. Very, very good.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
I have no diet sodas on here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't include
no diet
any
Coke?
Diets. Nope, I included no
what?
Diet soda. Yeah.
The Juggalos want to know if any Faygo is going to make the list.
I don't know what that is.
Really?
No, what's that?
Oh, it's their soda.
Oh, the Juggalos have a soda?
Oh, yeah.
Should have known.
Should have known, for sure.
Do the Juggalos like clearly Canadian? How do they feel about that little like light bulb shaped bottle?
A Juggalo?
It works.
Yeah.
Juggalos, yeah, the ICP fans. We'll move on, Brock.
Don't worry about it, Brock.
Don't worry about it.
They like the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
All right, now one of the most,
like
I would
just
say.
Just a Juggalo? And everywhere
kind
I go.
Of. No, these are Juggalos.
People know the part I play? Different. That one?
Yeah, no, they're different.
Oh.
Most underrated soda? Ginger ale.
All flavors or certain brands?
Yeah, I mean, Schweppes or Canada Dry or whatever. I don't care. I mean, I think the ginger ale all tastes basically the same. Great on a plane.
Great on a plane.
Absolutely.
But yeah, ginger ale, kind of underrated, I would say. Great now, mixer. If you want to go back in the Wayback Machine, only the Gen Xers will remember this. But in the 90s, somebody came out with OK Soda, OK Cola. Do you remember that? Okay. Rocky, probably don't, because you don't remember anything. But
I remember RC.
Yeah, RC's well before that, and that was just sort of a knockoff RC brand. Okay. But OK was supposed to be like the Gen X, like
okay.
grunge soda.
Like good was taken?
Yeah. It's just okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. Huh. It was sort of around the same time as Boku. So.
What about Dad's?
I don't know if I've had Dad's. Like Dad's root beer? Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Cream soda in general, excellent.
Yeah.
A little too sweet, but good. Yeah. Same with Orange Crush. Gets real sweet. Liked it a lot when I was a kid. There were other orange sodas back then. Sun-kissed, Orange Crush, etc. Of course, Fanta.
I see.
Fanta's got
that. Did you like the orange drink at McDonald's when you had your Big
no.
Mac?
No. Yes.
A lot of Fanta. I'll be stuck in your head the rest of the day.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you remember the big machines, Fruitopia?
Yes.
Are those sodas or are those just like
I think that was
sugary
more juice.
Fruit drinks?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got Cherry Coke. You got the Yaritos. You got New York Seltzer, which is very good. Barks Root Beer, A&W Root Beer, Hires Root Beer, Ramblin' Root Beer, Barrelhead Root Beer.
So root beers are not in the top five.
Well, not those, although I do love root beer. Yeah, you got baking soda, of course, Maura. And I know you were thinking a lot about Minnesota. Well, perhaps.
Are you ranking the word?
Supreme
or the
Court
drink?
Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Soto? Juan Soto? Yeah.
A couple of great characters, Brock, who didn't quite make the list. Now, there's Soda Pop Curtis, who I'm sure you remember, the middle Curtis brother, played by Rob Lowe in the movie The Outsiders. I'm sure that was on your mind, right? No. You knew that one, right?
No.
No? You never read the book?
No.
Jeez, Soda. Why has he always got to be like that? Right. He's just got more worries than he used to.
That's right. So, I'm sure you know about Soda Pop Curtis or Soda Popinski, Brock.
Soda Popinski, underrated power source and hamstrings.
And as we've said, originally known as Vodka Drakensky, the 35-year-old Russian boxer who made his first appearance in the arcade as the champion of the USSR in the 1984 game Super Punch-Out.
I want you to dress as Soda Popinski.
His name suggests he drinks soda on a regular basis in between bouts of incessant laughter. I'm sure in the original it wasn't soda that he was putting down. All right, are you ready for the top five sodas, Brock?
Surge.
Huh?
Surge.
Surge soda?
No Surge.
What is it? Oh, is that like Jolt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the Surge from like the mid late 90s, maybe?
I remember Jolt. I'm assuming Surge is sort of the same thing. Ruby like Red extra Zinc. Caffeinated.
Yes.
Love
gross.
Ruby Red Squirt.
Of course, how about a Fresca? Get some soda bread, soda crackers.
You said you were ready for top five.
All right, top five. Number five, Coke. Coca-Cola Classic. Great.
Whoa.
Like you just pour it on ice.
All that.
Never disappoints.
Just
Coke
okay.
never disappoints. Always good. Pepsi, less so. Coke, never disappoints. Always
I don't know if
good.
I don't even know the last time I had a Coke.
I don't either.
Well, I'm going to tell a story here coming up. But Coke never disappoints. When you do have it, tremendous. Number four, IBC root beer. And I'm going to put that really as to any craft root beer. IBC is like sort of the original craft root beer.
IBC.
But I love it when you go like, if you can get to like a anywhere that brews their own beer or anything that also brews their own root beer. Oh my gosh. It's so good.
Yes.
Huh.
Weird thing about root beer is it feels like you can never get it quite cold enough. Doesn't matter how much ice you use, root beer never fully gets freezing cold. But I throw as much ice in there as I can.
It's also the best with ice cream of all the
sodas. Oh my gosh. Great root beer float. So good.
Orange is pretty good too, but the root beer float is where it's at.
I really do like a good craft root beer. It's pretty good. Number three, Brock. I'm sure you remember these commercials.
You want a refreshing drink? Obey your thirst. And I tried to tell him, man.
Oh, Sprite. Obey your thirst.
Obey your thirst with Sprite. As I get
higher
older
than expected.
And I have soda much less frequently. I almost never drink soda. I find myself a little hankering for a Sprite now and again. Now, I think Sprite benefits from looking more refreshing than it actually is. I think being clear and coming in the green bottle really helps Sprite's case.
Like the Sprite Remix back in the day, that was better than regular Sprite.
Well, now you can go to a store, like in a bunch of the restaurants, they have like you get Sprite, and then you can add different flavors to it. So you can get, like, cherry Sprite, raspberry Sprite. Damn. It's crazy. It's too much.
I notice you haven't said Mountain Dew anywhere.
Yeah, no, there's a reason for that. That's
Justin,
disgusting.
Justin, you ever been to Iron Horse Brewery over in Ellensburg in your journeys on your scooter?
You know what? I think so.
Okay. Good root beer over
really?
There.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They make Irish Death
yeah,
the beer.
Yeah, I can see their logo, so I think yes. I've been there.
I could have mentioned there are some other good, like Mellow Yellow
sure.
or Orangina, things like that. Those Orangina. Are kind of fun.
I like the text that said, wait, you're drinking straight mixer on the Coke?
That's funny. Number two, Brock, since you mentioned it earlier, McDonald's Coke. It's its own substance. It is different from the Coke you would get in a can. And the Coke at McDonald's tastes better than almost anywhere else. Huh. McDonald's Coke, number two, and just barely. This is an all-time battle for number one.
Two Cokes.
Between McDonald's Coke, number two, and Mexican Coke in a glass bottle, number
yeah.
one. And if you have overdone it the night before, and you need a little help the next morning, there are no two better things in the world than McDonald's Coke or a Mexican Coke. Trust
Coke
me
is
on
in
this.
The top five Coke three times.
Yes. Three times in the top five.
Darn wow. right. There's a reason that half this country calls a soda a Coke.
Yeah.
It's the best soda. Nothing you can do.
Ginger ale, though, deserves some room.
So Friday morning, after a rough little race, Friday morning, you're going to pop
by
McDonald's?
Not that kind of rough night. Nope, that's not the kind of rough night that requires Coke. Okay. That requires a little bit more, you know, Gatorade.
Man, I drink a lot of that Code Red stuff back in the day.
Ugh, disgusting.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't even make the top five. That's nasty.
Time to liquidate till you urinate over the next 48 hours, Salk.
All right, I'm on it.
You and Maura.
We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.? Yeah, 6 a.m. We'll see you guys then. Until then, the hay.
Barn.
See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!